Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we've got a guest, a very special guest, a good friend of mine that I'll introduce to you now, Cristobal. Cristobal, buddy, welcome to the Screen Verdict podcast.
It is a pleasure to be on here, guys. I'm really excited.
How many episodes have you listened to, Cristobal?
That's a good question. This is going to be my first one partaking in and listening to it at the same time. I could be the cool kid and just like, I listen to them all the time. It's amazing. Now this is like more motivation to continuously listen. Now I've like signed it away.
Okay, I like it.
So this has been a bit of a hurdle for other people to getting on the podcast. Cristobal has jumped that hurdle.
Yes.
So well done to you. It is actually pretty hard to get on the Screen Verdict podcast. I'll have to double check this. This is podcast number 175, there or thereabouts. And I was trying to count them earlier. I think you'll be our eighth guest.
Nice. It's not a bad number.
So
no. That
we don't even have enough to form a Screen Verdict soccer team. That's how exclusive. getting on the Screen Verdict
podcast. I'm still waiting for Ray Devitt, the white whale of our, our old screenwriting tutor from university, Jonathan. I'm pumped for him to come on.
He's been much talked about, less so pursued.
I gotta tune in for that one. Sounds like that's a great one right there.
He's a character. So this week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Captain America: Civil War, and I've decided to we rang up Cristobal. I know he's a bit of a Marvel fan, and we may need some missing pieces filled in by. I'm just going to declare him our Marvel expert, and it'll be up to him to live up to that name.
I'm a Marvel expert.
You think you are a Marvel expert?
I can try. I have a gigantic box of comic books that might vouch for me.
You're done. Yeah. You're overqualified.
Have you ever dressed up as a Marvel character?
Yes, I did. I dressed up as Captain America for WonderCon. I'm dressing up as a sexy Deadpool for Anime Expo. And Captain America again. Yeah. I'll take a seat. I'm actually going to get a custom-made Spider-Man suit, like, fitted for me. It's bad. It's very bad.
Sounding like a Marvel expert to me. Sounding like
ticking all the boxes. If I had one criticism of Deadpool, it's that he wasn't sexy enough.
Oh, I'll let Ryan Reynolds hear you say that.
So I'm glad you've decided to go with a sexy Deadpool to correct that error.
When I go to parties in costumes these days and people ask me what I'm dressed as, I usually go, sexy cowboy, sexy whatever I'm dressed as. Because I feel like it's just me as that thing.
So Matt, I know you haven't been the biggest fan of some of the Marvel superhero films. How many of them have you seen?
I don't know. I've seen, I think, Iron Man 1 and 3, definitely. Maybe 2, I can't remember. I've seen Thor 2. I've seen the first two Avengers movies. I saw The Amazing Spider-Man. Does that count? Is that part of Marvel?
Those
ones
feel bad.
Sure. We'll give it to you.
I would consider them part of, like, the Marvel. Like, it's weird. Disney owns all of the stuff now, so it's not part of the current Marvel U, but I would consider it just, it wasn't bad. It was okay. I think the first one with Tobey Maguire was an excellent movie. That was well put together, but everything after that just kind of went downhill from there.
Is that pretty much all of them, Cristobal? Have I pretty much seen all the Marvel movies, or are there a few that I've missed?
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I really want to see that. It's on my Netflix queue.
That one and Ant-Man. Ant-Man's the other one I really need to see. Those two were, like, sleepers to me.
Just... Oh, you haven't seen them?
No, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I have not seen Ant-Man. Ant-Man's the one.
See, I've seen every single Marvel film except for Captain America Winter Soldier, which is probably the only film you'd really need to see going into Civil War.
That's like an important one to fill in the gap right there. You kind of understand why Bucky is Winter Soldier and why he's gone into hiding now.
All right, well, that's why you're here, Cristobal, to fill in the gaps.
Beautiful. Should I do that right now? Would you like me to fill in that gap right there?
Okay, so I guess we have in Civil War, I guess, well, let's start talking about Civil War, and then when we get to that character, you can fill us in.
Beautiful.
Should we give a spoiler alert, Jonathan?
Okay, so we would be very remiss we wouldn't want to deny the listeners a fan favorite spoiler alert, and practically important as well, but also just kind of fun spoiler alert. So here we go. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Okay, we're now going to mention spoilers from the movie at times.
And this is how Cristobal's going to go around town. He's going to be talking to his buddies about films now. And just so you know, spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
I'm literally going to run into work like that every time after I see a movie. Better get out! It's spoilerific.
So, Civil War spoilers coming at you. So, I guess the film starts with an action. There's some crazy stuff going on, and it doesn't go as planned. Basically, I don't know. They get some bad guy, but what's the girl's name? She's one of the Russian girls that we met in the second Avengers movie. What's her name? No, not Scarlett Johansson, the other one, the Russian one. Scarlett Johansson, Russian too.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. So she's contained the power of, like, an explosion to protect Captain America, and then she throws it away, but doesn't really notice where she's throwing it to. It goes into a building. That goes off. So all of this drama, all this action trying to get the bad guy, kind of undone by a bunch of civilian casualties and... This kind of plays into the story, I guess, some of the themes of the Avengers. You know, they're trying to do good, but often there's a lot of collateral damage. And do we need to restrict the powers of the Avengers? You know, do they need to answer to some kind of authority and so they can be held responsible for these actions? Do you guys feel like they needed to be under sort of like a tighter leash? Someone for the Avengers needed to answer to?
Cristobal?
I think Nick Fury was a great director that they answered to, but, you know, Captain America makes, Steve Rogers essentially makes the greatest point. He's like, if we are under, you know, government control, then they're telling us who the bad guys are. So I think it's a horrible idea. That's my personal opinion on that.
I'm not sure if the execution in this movie is great, but I think maybe you should have someone, like, running the show. Like, because what happens if, like, there's a disagreement among the superheroes? Is it just the most powerful superhero gets to decide what happens? Like, I think you need some form of, like, oversight and accountability.
Hmm.
Jonathan, weigh in.
Well, you certainly need an odd number of Avengers. It's like having eight people on the Supreme Court. That just doesn't work. So I guess you say you've got to answer to someone. Well, eventually you reach the top of the food chain and lions don't answer to anyone. So I feel like if it's the government or the Avengers, personally I would trust the Avengers more to make that decision.
Particularly in, like, a movie scenario, because things like the government's often a bit shifty in movies. Always up to things.
There's no Hollywood filmmakers out there saying, you know what, I know Congress has a 4% approval rating, but I'm going to write a pro-government film.
One of these days they'll be there. They're like, no, they should totally sign up with the government. Like, the government. Maybe some charity stuff.
Get a little bit of feedback. Can someone turn the volume down on their end? It seems to be getting picked up.
Don't put earbuds in, Jonathan.
Yeah, get those earbuds. Give you the superpower of not ruining the podcast.
Very, very funny.
The essential superpower right there.
All right. Good job. Teamwork. Look at that.
Nice.
So Matt and I said that in our Batman versus Superman podcast, it would be interesting to see how effective a sort of Iron Man versus Captain America sort of clash would come about. Because we were somewhat mixed on Batman versus Superman. Cristobal, what's your flash take on Batman versus Superman?
That was one hot mess. The easiest way to explain it is like the Batman versus Superman part was pretty good. The Dawn of Justice part was great, but then that line in the middle was unnecessary. Like, we did not need to cram that into one jam-packed fun show movie. Like, should have been two separate movies, focus on more. Like, it was just so much going on. And the worst part about it is unless you've really read the comics, you miss so many things in it. There's just so many little things that unless you're really like, oh, I'm a massive Batman nerd, you just don't get it.
Did you say a hot mess or a long mess?
I would probably say, well, I said hot mess, but it's probably a long mess.
You see, Cristobal, I don't think Matt's ever given a positive review to a film over 2 hours long. So,
oh, with that one, I don't blame him. That just needed to stop so many times.
I think you're being way too generous, Cristobal, to the movie.
I just really love, and you guys might hate me for it, but I really love Ben Affleck as Batman. That's the only part about it that I enjoyed.
That wasn't the issue for me. Yeah. I
didn't mind Ben Affleck. This isn't a Batman vs. Superman review. If you want to hear our thoughts, go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Just scroll down for our Batman vs. Superman podcast, one of our most recent ones. But the parallel that I was going to draw was...
Is it because I've got a parallel too, Jonathan, but I'll let you use yours first.
Don't steal my parallel, he says. What I wanted to bring up was my main problem with Batman vs. Superman was I didn't buy into the premise of why they were fighting in the first place. And so what I wanted to say about Captain America's Civil War is... Even though I guess throughout the film, I feel like I sided probably more with Captain America, I did see both points of the argument. And even though I kind of felt like, you know, it would be hard to sort of deal with those casualties and you might feel responsible, I feel like in each of those cases, you know, the casualties would have been far, 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 far worse if the Avengers hadn't done anything. Although I did get the point that, you know, the Avengers' existence made people want to challenge them, and so perhaps their presence brought about more violence. And so I guess that's a good discussion. So that was why I thought it was good that I could see, at least to some extent, both sides of the story.
My parallel was a bit different in that I thought that Batman vs. Superman was a good movie for this movie because... Like, the Batman vs. Superman was so bad that I'll probably be impressed by this one. A bit like the Dexter season final happening right before the Breaking Bad season final, doing nothing but good things for Breaking Bad season final.
Cristobal, did you see either side of the story, or were you just like, damn you Iron Man, or damn you Captain America?
I mean, I definitely got the argument behind it. You know, it's... I can't side with it, and part of it's just the nerd fanboy in me loving Captain America. But I get the whole argument, like, hey, they have superpowers, they're trying to rescue people, and at the end of the day, there should be some type of regulation behind it. But I completely saw the two sides of the story right there, and it was brilliant. There was never any confusion. It was like, wait, I get this guy's point, but why is Tony Stark all pissed off about, like, it was really well done. Like, I still, to this day, I agree with you guys. I don't get why Batman wanted to beat up Superman. I completely get why Captain America punches Tony Stark in the face, but I just don't get it with the other movie.
They were jealous of each other.
That's all it was.
Pretty much. So yeah, I bought the premise too. I think good argument, good battle of ideas. I want to see how this plucked out.
And we got a good number of people involved. I liked how it sort of ended up being kind of a team. Everyone had to pick a side. You know, it ended up being sort of like a 5v5 basketball match, but rather than playing basketball, you're all punching each other in the face in an airport. That had to be one of my favorite action scenes, I don't know, maybe ever. I just thought the mix of just really awesome superheroes, and I guess the sort of the surprise drop-ins of Spider-Man and Ant-Man. I think what makes some of the Marvel films great in this kind of, you know, some people, why are there so many of these films? It's just kind of like the same thing one after the other. But what it does is it really does bring to, when people say the Marvel Universe, it really is a universe. And so you have so many different characters and storylines to tap into that when you come up with a reason for them to come together like they did in this film, you get something awesome like that that action scene, that fight scene. What is it? Yeah. What do you take off? What do they call them? Runways. Airport runway. That's what I'm talking about.
Landing strip.
Yeah. Cristobal,
it was good.
What did you think of the action, the fight scenes? Did you enjoy? Were you enjoying them in Civil War?
So that's the only one gripe about it. You have that massive action scene at the beginning of the movie. Then I get why it had to happen. It kind of does slow down and drag a little bit, but that's the best part about it. It drags and drags to get that awesome ultimate clash of, like you said, you know, that 5v5 basketball game. And for me, it was just, everything about that scene was just so well done, and the characters just lived up to their personalities. And I'm probably going to turn this into like a Spider-Man podcast right now, because I feel like between Spider-Man and Ant-Man, they both stole the entire show. Like, Black Panther was great. He had strong signs, but oh my God, like, I think Tom Holland's perfect for the role, not just because of the look, but when he grabs Winter Soldier's arm in the middle of that fight, he's like, oh, cool, robotic arm, it's Peter Parker. None of the actors have ever done that. All the other actors are like, oh my God, I'm fighting serious, time to get angry. You're like, no, you're Spider-Man, you're Peter friggin' Parker, like, enjoy it, have fun. And when they took down Giant Man and he used the entire reference to Star Wars, like, scene with the walker, that would be, that's what Peter Parker would do. Like, hey guys, have you seen Star Wars? Let's do that. Like, all of that was just perfect. Like, that was the balance between that fight scene, too. Like, it had its moments where you just saw on the edge, like, oh my God, they're going to try and kill each other. And then, you know, you have Peter Parker with the comic relief, and then Ant-Man throwing that container, like, oh, I thought that would end up being explosive, you know, truck. Like, all of that was just brilliant.
Yeah, I thought there was certain. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Who is that little guy? Who's the actor who's playing Spider-Man? I did not recognize him at all. I was like, oh, they haven't got a big name.
Tom Holland.
Has he been in much?
That's a good question, because I have no idea.
Let's just say he's the new kid on the scene.
He's a damn good Spider-Man.
Yeah, as well as the action, I thought there were some really great one-liners in that. Paul Rudd saying, I'm going to try something. I tried it once before at home. I passed out. It's like, it was just kind of like goofy, but like, yeah, they just kind of kept on upping the stakes. So it was kind of, yeah, you had that tension, but also the comedy as well. And there was, They kind of peppered that well throughout the film. Like, I don't know, who's the guy that is Captain America's friend that has the kind of, like, hawk wings thing? What's his name?
Oh, Falcon.
Anthony Mackie, yeah. How he's like, he meets the Black Panther for the first time, and then they're just in the back of the car, and he's like, so, you like cats?
That was a good one.
I thought that was something they did really well in the first Avengers, and then I didn't think the second Avengers was as funny. I didn't think the writing was as sharp, which is surprising because I think Joss Whedon wrote that, and I think that guy's hilarious, but this was definitely one of the funniest in the series.
Well, who do we think had the best team? Who had the dream team from the draft pick?
All right, that's a good question. So if we had to jump in, pick a side, who would we be fighting with purely based on who we think's got the strongest chance to win?
Yeah, not on argument.
Yeah, no. We're not principled. We're here to pick the winning side.
We back a winning team at Screen Verdict.
All right. Well, we got to figure out who is on the science. This is testing our knowledge. All right, Marvel expert, we're calling you up. Who are on the two sides?
On Iron Man's side, I believe we had Black Widow, we had Vision, we had Spider-Man, we had Black Panther. That's five, so we're missing one more. War Machine. There we go. On Captain America's side, obviously we had Captain America. We had Ant-Man. We had Scarlet Witch. We also had... Oh, this is what happens when I'm not getting enough sleep now. There's two more I'm blanking on. They're going to come to me right now.
The Hawkeye guy. Yeah, the guy with the bow and arrow.
And then Winter Soldier. There we go.
Oh, Bucky Barnes. Okay, just with the Iron Man team... Who's this War Machine character? I've never heard of him before.
That's Don Cheadle. He's basically like another Iron Man.
Sorry. I didn't know that was his name. He's Iron Man's friend.
Yeah.
And it was... I missed one of them. It was Iron Man, Widow Maker, or Widow, Black Widow.
Yeah.
You'll get used to this.
That's a local... What, sorry?
Cristobal will get used to Matt being just sort of vaguely in the right area with names and pronunciations and so forth.
Widowmaker's a character, thing at the local laser tag. I often get that as my character at laser tag. The Black Panther.
Yeah.
Who's the Black Panther?
He's the African guy, and he had that sort of
that black guy, the claws. Guy in the embassy.
Yeah, the Prince of Wakanda.
Yeah, and who's the other one? I'm missing one. Vision. Oh, no, I've got five. I've got them. Oh, Vision. Yeah, who's this Vision?
He's the weird,
creepy robot alien guy.
Oh, yeah, he was a bit bizarre. Has he been in one of these movies before?
Yeah, he got created in Age of Ultron, the second Avengers.
Yep.
Oh, I've seen that. So, okay, cool.
that was a good one. It's a really...
All right.
Okay, it's it pretty well.
All right, well, let me see. Iron Man's pretty good, but Iron Man's got good mobility. He can shoot stuff from afar. He's got pretty good defenses. He basically got two of those, so that's pretty strong. Black Panther, he's pretty fast. He's got, like, the claws, but I don't know. He can't attack from a distance, so...
Yeah, but his suit's made out of vibranium, so it's like nothing can even faze him.
Ooh.
He can run fast.
Okay, so he's tanky.
What does that mean, like, nothing can faze him? Like, okay, you know, so Captain America and his... So, like, if his girlfriend breaks up with him, he's like, nothing's fazing me, I'm wearing the vibranium.
Yes, like, true story, vibranium is so powerful, it can, like, prevent heartbreak. Like, literally, like, they can break up with you and just go, okay, whatever, I don't need you, I have vibranium.
You're joking. is that true?
No, that's actually not true. It's, like, physically, like, impenetrable, though. Like, it's adamantium, but the shield, Captain America's shield was made out of vibranium, so bulletproof... I think most explosives, pretty damn sturdy.
Mm. Right. So it's like better than Captain America because like he just covered in the shield. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, he's covered in the shield from head to toe.
Although Captain America can throw it, and it seems to boomerang back to him all the time. I'm not exactly sure of the physics on that.
Can he jump? Can he jump? He can put his vibranium, like, throw himself at people.
Hell yeah.
He's kamikaze.
And he's the Black Panther, so he's fast. Like, he's ridiculously fast. He caught all those arrows from Hawkeye. He's like... Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, is that a superpower, or is he just a quick guy?
Like, I think that's part of the superpower, actually.
Okay, so he's not like a Usain Bolt. He's, like, a lot faster than Usain.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so he's got a good armor thing. Okay.
So we've got three heavily armored guys already on Team Stark.
And then Vision, he's not, I don't know if he's necessarily heavily armored, but he can kind of just, he can like walk through walls. So he can kind of just like dodge attacks in that way. So that's pretty
cool. Like that's another great one-liner right there when he goes through through Ant-Man. He's like, oh my god, he's inside of me. So you creep people out with that too. That's double points right there. You can creep people out.
He seemed very powerful.
Yeah, Vision's really...
Like, he seemed like he'd be hard to kill or fight or something. So yeah, I think he's a good one. Black Widow, what's her deal? I think we had a debate when we did the Avengers podcast, Jonathan, about whether she was a superhero or not.
Yeah.
Ridiculously skilled in hand-to-hand combat, physically strong, great with weapons, like a heavily trained badass. She's probably like the wild card of them all. She has to kind of play it safe, which I don't know. She really impresses the hell out of me for not being in a super suit or armor like any of them.
Considering the skills and powers of these other guys, she holds her own pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's definitely badass. She's definitely pretty cool. But I wouldn't say that James Bond is a superhero or Jason Bourne is a superhero. So, I don't know. Is it just the affiliation? Like, you know, can you register with somewhere? Like, pay your $149 yearly membership fee and then your skills make you a superhero? I don't know exactly how it works.
Is she like a, to make it like Harry Potter, like, reference, like maybe one of those, like, mudblood characters that isn't quite a wizard, but because they go to the wizard school, they are a wizard?
Actually, that's not a bad comparison. It's actually, well, you know, we could go to jump to the other team, because Falcon is a great example of that as well, because he essentially just, all he is that Falcon armor. Like, the rest of him, like, he's not super fast, he's not super strong. Like, Captain America, like, dusted him in that race in Winter Soldier, so, I mean, he's literally just the armor. So I guess they're equal right there.
There's something arguably like Iron Man too, right? Arguably Iron Man as well, right?
Well, no, he's ridiculously fucking smart. And he's got like a ton of money. That's different.
Yeah, but he's not super smart.
Well, I mean, to build two different suits, and then he's got his whole line of suits. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, but my Steve Jobs isn't a superhero because he like came up with the iPhone.
Well, if the iPhone could cover me from head to toe and just blast fools, I don't know, man. I consider Steve Jobs a superhero.
Okay, so let's switch to the other team. We've got Captain America. He's pretty powerful. Sort of goes without saying, like the whole movie's about him. We've got Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, because he got all big too.
Yeah, that was sort of reminded me of the end of the Muppet movie when Animal becomes really big.
That could have been a tribute. I think actually, doesn't Disney and Jim Henson, aren't they like together somehow?
Yeah, Disney bought the Jim Henson Company, so.
You never know, that might have been another tribute right there that we didn't catch. It's like the Star Wars one.
They're like, we now own the rights to really big characters.
We give it another year, they're just going to own everything. So did you guys see the new Disney movie, Dumb and Dumber 3?
Well, and this is a real coup for the Marvel being owned by Disney, because it means that now they just are on lockdown with any Return of Jafar references. Town. Captain America, Ant-Man, the Scarlet Witch. Fill me in on her. I haven't really seen her in too many movies before.
She's ridiculously... She has the power to alter and bend reality, and that's her doing it physically. But if you've ever read the comics, too, she literally can just completely alter reality to the point where one time... Her dad's Magneto in the comics. She got super duper pissed off at him, threw a fin. She was just like, okay, you know what, that moment. And completely, that rewrote the entire world to having no more mutants. So she's pretty, she's on like Vision's level of like overpoweredness.
So she likes a guy, she can just like make him like her?
The comic book version, yes. They haven't gone too far. See, that's the one thing I'm waiting for. We got the fact that she can physically alter reality, so I'm just waiting to see if she's going to be able to just like completely rewire reality like that. But yes, in the comic book, she could do that. Like if she saw a guy, she'd be like, "I want him." Like it's like a Jedi mind trick almost.
And she can control people's minds. She didn't really do it so much in this film, I don't think. But in Age of Ultron, she was just tapping people on the head, and then all of a sudden they're in another world. It just felt like a really real dream, but it was like a nightmare. Yeah. And so rather than being in the middle of the fight, they're just kind of like they're just like zombied out, having this nuts nightmare. So mind control, that's pretty powerful.
Why didn't she just control her mind to agree with Captain America?
I think maybe she has to touch them. I don't think she can do it. I'm not sure if she can do it from a distance.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're hanging out around her, wear a beanie or something.
Yeah, always,
not a bad idea.
It needs to cover everything, though. Maybe like a Green Man suit from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't. She doesn't touch your head. Just could be anywhere.
I don't know. She's. It seemed to be in the head, but maybe that was just because it was visually. It's like she's tapping their head. She's controlling the mind.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we've got her. We've got Hawkeye.
Okay.
He can just shoot. He's pretty much like a Katniss Everdeen of the Avengers world.
Pretty much. Ridiculously, like, accurate, deadly one.
Not as good at making speeches.
I would agree.
Yeah. And then Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes. Is this where we need to be filled in on what his story is?
Yeah, Chris, explain the history behind Bucky.
Yeah,
because it's really all—it's all over him.
Yeah, we have so at the end of Captain America, we see Bucky meet a bad fate as well, and he gets picked up by a bunch of really bad Russian people. So you know, Captain America, nice, gets picked up by the Americans, becomes part of Shield. Bucky kind of gets the crappy end of the stick. He gets unthawed by Russians, and they completely reprogrammed his brain. And we see some of that in the current movie when they're reciting that quote. I think it's like Homecoming. I don't remember all the words, but they were saying that, like, that's reactivating programming. And the entire second movie just revolves, that's the second Captain America movie, revolves around the story of Bucky just, you know, going haywire. He's completely brainwashed. Steve Rogers sees his best friend, he wants to reconnect with him, and he's trying to feed him. At the end of the movie, he finally, it's kind of a mixture of beating sense into him and just finally reacting to his memories, and he goes off in the hiding at the end of the second movie. He's like, okay, you know what, I kind of know who I am, but I still don't feel like I have control over this, so for the safety of everybody, I'm just peacing out. And he thought he was doing a good job with it. We fast forward to Civil War, explosion goes off, there's the big old framing, and all of a sudden he's pulled back into this crappy life again. He has to go into hiding, and we have Zemo show up during that whole scene where he receives that code word, activates him, and that's pretty much like he's a super soldier like Captain America, but just ridiculously more unstoppable, very relentless. It's a blind rage. It's a lot of action. He's got that arm as well that's just it's freakishly strong. I can't remember what it's made out of, which fails me as the Marvel expert right here, but it's level with Captain America's shield, and that's
his thing.
Is it that
Valerium? Is it the Valerium that they make the shield and the suit out of?
Vibranium? No, I don't think it's vibranium.
Matt finds a way to anger all the Game of Thrones fans, even in a non-Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Valerian steel. That would be good.
They get more angry when they find out I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm way behind on that. I saw, like, half of the first game. I saw the little kid get pushed off the window when he saw the two people having sex.
That first were episode.
Brother and sister. Yeah.
Well, apologies to all the people out there that haven't seen Game of Thrones episode 1.
I just spoiled it.
That's the first episode. So anyway, so I followed some of that background, and I think this is interesting. I was teaching at a school last year, and some of the kids thought I looked like Bucky Barnes.
I was going to say that. You're saying, oh, you kind of do look. You should consider that as a future cosplay. Next time you go to a convention or something, be a good idea.
I've got a friend who once went to do cosplay last year for the first time. They went as, like, a character from Firefly. They did Firefly cosplay. And, the character, unfortunately, is more like regular clothes, so, they didn't look too different to usual, like...
He just had, like, a satchel or something.
Yeah, she was playing, the Asian girl or Sky or something. I don't know Firefly, I don't know what the character is. Pretty much she was wearing a dress and a cardigan or something like that.
I think Civil War did a good job of sort of explaining this character. He seemed like a guy that maybe wanted to do good, but he'd just been programmed or whatever that, you know, if someone got control of him, said these things, that they could make him do bad stuff. And I guess... What were you going to say, Matt?
He's pretty much Peter from, like, the third Hunger Games movie.
What does Peter want to do? Oh, Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was like, Peter, that sounds like a girl's name. All right, now I've just annoyed all the Hunger Games fans.
And you were Team Peter.
I was Team Peter, not Team Peter. You made me hungry. I was like, where's the hummus?
You meant to pronounce it like the pita bread. When we the podcast.
Oh, man.
So the bad thing that Bucky did, I mean, Bucky, we see some of the bad stuff that he did, but I guess the main thing that gets revealed towards the end was that he killed Captain America's dad.
Iron Man's dad.
Yes, that's what I said. Now, I've annoyed all the Marvel fans. There's going to be a lot of complaints on this podcast.
This is just the Anger Everyone podcast today. I'm scared.
Yeah, send your complaints to Cristobal@gmail.com.
But I have, like, friggin' death threats at my door. Like, what's like, going to happen? Somebody's going to be like, hold the door, and then get smushed.
Well, Matt, Cristobal hasn't heard this story, but just quickly, Matt works for a website called Gold Derby, and they follow the awards races, like the Emmys and the Oscars and things. And through that, Matt's writes some articles, but a cool thing that he gets to do is interview a lot of the actors and writers, directors, etc. that are up for these nominations. So he was interviewing, I believe, Nikolai Coster-Waldau?
Yeah.
Interviewing an actor from Game of Thrones, and I believe Matt butchered...
The guy who pushed the kid out the window. Yeah. The pusher.
Oh, man.
And Matt, I'm not sure how well Matt pronounced Nikolai Coster-Waldau. And there were some rather passionate corrections in the YouTube comments.
I pronounced the character Brienne. I pronounced her name wrong.
What did you...
in the chat. I said Briny. I got the name wrong. I said, oh, Briny. He goes, I don't know who Briny is.
That's even better. You didn't get... You're not just getting corrected by keyboard warriors. You got corrected by an actor on the show.
Yeah.
That's probably the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, Bucky killed Iron Man's dad. And just as it looked like Iron Man and Captain America were sort of getting on back on the same page, this leads to... No, that's unacceptable. And it leads to the Captain America-Iron Man showdown that I guess... who was it? That guy. That guy from Inglourious Basterds. Anyway, this was part of his plan to get them to fight each other.
Team up. There we go, team up.
Yeah, what was his story again?
In the movie, he's just trying to get back. He was one of the victims of collateral damage because of the Avengers. Like, his family ended up dying it. I don't remember which incident that had happened recently, but he lost his family to it, and he was just, yeah, there's like so many of them, and he was with one of them that he's just like, hey, if this is going to be my way of getting back to them, I'm going to have them just literally rip themselves apart. That was his whole gig right there.
Well, that's a good strategy, because, you know, he's not a superhero, you know, unless he's, you know, really good at long jump or something. like Jeremy Renner's skills, but in terms of actually taking on the Avengers, there's no way to really do it directly, but the Avengers are powerful, so if you can get the Avengers fighting each other, it's a good way to take them down, so...
Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good plan. I didn't like this bit, though, because I thought, like, it then became, like, very emotional for Iron Man. He gets his dad being killed, but it does seem like Iron Man's usually a bit more rational than that.
Hmm. I guess he is kind of emotionally detached. I think he is sort of rational, logical to the nth degree, but I think part of it is a cover-up for... just not wanting to deal with, you know, things to do with his childhood and his family or whatever. And then when it sort of ties back into that, and I mean, and we've gotten glimpses into it earlier when he'd, near the beginning of the film, he'd done that sort of, you know, virtual reality thing where you could go recreate things from your past or whatever. You know, he wouldn't have done that if, you know, those kind of things weren't haunting him. And he'd never say it, but then it sort of came out in that moment and then in that fight with Captain America.
Yeah. I think he's also in a really, like, emotional state, too, because during that presentation, what's her name, Pepper, whatever, was supposed to be on stage with him, and I guess they just... I never saw Iron Man 3, so I don't know, but I think they just had split up or just had a break, too, so he's literally, like... He looks cool and calm on the outside, but he's a mess just from everything going on in his life. And let's not forget he created Ultron, which almost destroyed, you know, everyone.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what the deal was with his relationship with Pepper. Like, could they just not afford Gwyneth Paltrow? It's like, oh, man, we spent our budget. We got, like, 12 Avengers in here. We had to call in Paul Rudd to make this movie. There's not enough money for Paul Rudd and Gwyneth Paltrow. So he seemed a bit down over that. Yes, and I think I kind of like how it ended. I thought I sort of saw both sides, but I think ultimately I agreed more with Captain America, and so that was why I kind of liked the fact that in a way he eventually won the fight, but he decided, you know, I'm not going to kill Iron Man over this, because he understood why Iron Man felt that way. And even though he'd made mistakes, he ultimately just wanted to bring the team back together, which is what we see as he goes to that, was it, it's pretty sick, sort of like submarine thing, submarine prison.
The rig.
Yeah, I mean,
it was really, really big in the comic book too. For 1 second, I'm gonna Google this one.
Nice.
I mean, that's pretty hard to escape from.
The raft. There we go. It's the raft.
The raft. Because I mean, prison's not that easy to escape out of. I mean, it took a whole season of Prison Break for them to get out of prison. And even once you get out, they put you back in. And then you got to escape the next season as well. So,
Panama prison.
Yeah. but underwater. It's like, do any of the Avengers have the power to breathe underwater?
No.
Maybe Vision. I don't know if he needs air.
I don't think Vision was locked up.
Yeah, he wasn't. I was just wondering if they did. Well, I mean, he can just walk through walls. Yeah, I think he's
pretty comfortable. Yeah, exactly. He can walk through that. Actually, no, he couldn't. Because if I remember correctly, that's part of the thing about the raft that makes it insanely crazy is the way it's built, it dampens every single superhero power, like, once they're in their cell. That's why they just can't, like, blow it up or get out of there.
Is it made out of kryptonite or something?
No, it's DC.
Yeah, Jonathan, buddy.
I know that, but what in the Marvel world dampens superpowers?
Valyrian steel. Yes.
Let's say that. That's a great way to do it.
This is Matt's answer to everything.
Anyways.
Matt's going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He's going to get to the $1 million question. It's going to be, who was the first president of the United States? Was it A, George Washington, B, Thomas Jefferson, C, Abraham Lincoln, or D, Valerian Steele? Matt, I think this has got to be a sign. Lock it in, Eddie.
Oh, my gosh.
All our American listeners are like, who's Eddie?
Just an update. I just went on to a Marvel Wikia. It's upgraded with a bioenergy dampening field. I mean, that's not very specific, but let's use superhero imagination.
EDF? It's good old EDF imply yet again.
There we go.
So that pretty much takes us to the end of the film. Do we have any closing comments before we give our screen verdict?
We never pick which team we'd want to be on. Oh. Do you know what I thought could be fun? If we do a draft pick and we pick our own teams.
Oh.
All right.
A snake draft?
Matt just wanted to use the term snake draft. He doesn't necessarily think that that's the best way to do it. He just wanted to let us know that he knows what a snake draft is.
I want to know what a snake draft is. It's interesting now.
Oh, it's good. Do you know what a snake draft is, Jonathan?
I think so. I know how it works with two people. It's like, I go first, but I only get one pick. You go second, but you then get two. And then
something like that. Snakes around. So you go, I'd go first, then you, then Cristobal, then Cristobal again, then you, then me again, then you, then me. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. If I'm in the middle, do I never get two, or do you guys just go?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I technically.
Yeah, when do I get to go twice in a row?
You don't, but you're never at the end.
All right, I'll trust you. I'll trust. We don't have time to question Matt's methods. all right, Matt.
Well, you can go for. Yeah, no. We'll do it my way, but I'll go in the middle then. if I take the middle, then if there's any disadvantage, it's on me.
All right, I'll start. I'm gonna take. I'm going to take Ant-Man.
Okay. I'm making a note of this. Okay, I'll go next, and I will take the Scarlet Witch.
Okay, I guess I'm next up. I'm going to take Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. But you pick again, Cristobal, with the snap draft system.
Okay. I will also take Captain America.
Can you take one once someone's gone?
Did somebody pick Captain America already? Did I miss
that? Matt picked Scarlet Witch. All right, you're good. You're good. So you got Captain America and Spider-Man. I'm going to take Vision.
Wait, are we doing a snake draft? It goes back through me, Jonathan.
No. Doesn't it bounce?
No, it's like, that's why I didn't get two in a row at any point.
Yeah, that's why you didn't get two in a row.
Because I'm in the middle of the snake.
Oh, I'm good.
I'll draw it for you with my finger. Just look at my thing. It's like this.
All right, I thought I was in the middle, but then we switched it to me starting. That's how I got confused. So, Matt, it's back to you.
No, okay, so you did understand. Okay. So, I didn't make a note of it. He got Spider-Man.
He got Spider-Man and Captain America.
Okay. I will pick... let's go Iron Man.
I'm sure a lot of the fans were like, pick Vision! Just to annoy Jonathan.
Well, you get two.
Oh, gosh dang it.
Yeah, you get two now.
I get two.
No. Yeah, because I'm in the middle of the snake. Do you not know how snake draft works?
I don't have any visuals. I'm in GarageBand. I'm not looking at whatever your finger's doing.
Oh, you could have told me that before I started doing the lights, and I'll show you my finger to watch my finger. It's
like this. I was picturing it. I was picturing it in my mind. I'll take Vision and Black Panther.
And now it's back to me. So I will take. I don't even know who's left now. Vision would have been a good one, eh? which guy? I think I've got to take... who was the War Machine again? What was that character?
He's like Iron Man's friend.
No, I've already got an Iron Man. I don't need two. I'll go Winter Soldier. I think that could be a good pick.
Back to me. Who's left now, technically? I'll do War Machine.
Okay.
Did we technically get everybody, or is there one more left?
I think we've still got Widow and Hawkeye are both still in the mix.
I'll take Black Widow.
Okay.
So, yeah, War Machine and Black Widow.
That's it. Black Widow. Okay, I get the pick again. And I'll pick... who will I pick? I guess I'll pick... is there only one person left?
I think Hawkeye's the last one.
Okay, so... I guess I get that. Jonathan, you don't get the one. But no, that might mean we don't have Black Widow or Hawkeye drafted.
If it was if it was 6v6, that would be 12. So we'd each get four people.
Okay, but so we've forgotten someone.
I've only picked three people so far, I think.
Yes, you're right.
Let's see.
So there's someone we're forgetting.
America.
Captain America.
Somebody already got Ant-Man. I got Cam.
Yeah,
I got it. Black Panther, I got Spider-Man. What else are we missing? I got Black Widow.
Just quickly, I'm going to quickly search it up. I'm going to search up Civil War on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
oh, I should have searched for the movie, not the Civil War. Like, there's a whole bunch of other pages about there was some Civil War before the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Falcon.
Who's Falcon?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anthony Mackie's character. He's the black guy. He's Captain America's friend. He has those, like, metallic wing things.
Yep.
Oh, okay, Falcon. Okay, so... Cristobal, do you want to pick Falcon instead of Hawkeye as your last pick or not?
Well, no, I picked...
Black Widow.
I technically picked... Yeah, I picked Black Widow and War Machine. Yeah. I'm cool with that stuff. I'm cool with that stuff.
You're cool with that? You're keeping it?
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna pick Hawk guy. Hawkman.
Wait, what?
Is it Hawkeye or Falcon?
There's Hawkeye and Falcon.
Falcon. I thought the bird one, whatever the bird one is, but they're both bird ones.
Right.
So Falcon,
and that means
and then you're going to be yourself a Hawkeye.
All right.
See, how simple is that? Snake draft.
That was the best 16 minutes of podcast we've ever done. I don't know how we pick a winner unless I think we'll probably all just argue that ours we each won. So maybe we'll have to put it up to the listeners.
Poll. Yeah, we put a poll on the best team.
We'll poll with the teams.
You will put up the teams and go to on facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast and you can let us know who won the Captain America Civil War snake draft.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, that brings us round to our screen verdict. I'll kick us off first. I really enjoyed the film. Pretty much right off the bat, I was hooked in with the action. I thought it was really funny. Pretty much instantly thought it was going to be one of the best Marvel films, if not the best. And afterwards, I thought, man, that was just really good. That was awesome. It was like an 8 out of 10 or something. But then I thought about it, I was like, what could have been better? Am I just saying, oh, because it's like a fun, fast-paced action film, that it can't get any higher than that? But when I think about it, if I compare it to any of my favorite action films, it's right at the top. It was a super funny, clever story, dealt with some good themes that were relevant to modern society, and was overall just a fun watch. So I'm going to give Civil War a 9 out of 10.
Whoa, that's a Zootopia level score. I'll go now. I enjoyed the movie. It was fun action, some good characters, a believable conflict, but some of it dragged a little. Actually, it didn't really drag much, but I just didn't love any part of the film. I just enjoyed it thoroughly throughout, so I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Cristobal, hitters.
Oh, I get to be a part of this one. Okay.
Of course, yes.
I don't want to give it a 10 out of 10 just because that's me being like, oh my god, I'm so biased, I love Marvel, it was perfect, but it's hard for me not to give it a 9 out of 10 just because I'm a massive comic book fan. I've loved watching all of the Captain America movies, and the thing that blew me away the most about this one was the third Captain America movie, but with the pacing and the casting, this felt like an Avenger movie. Like, the scale was brilliant. So 9 out of 10, just the introduction of Spider-Man, that stole the show.
Okay, Jonathan's 9 out of 10 has cushioned your seeming like just a fanboy with your 9 out of 10.
And just for the record, that's a very high score. We're relatively tough to please on the screen. We're not mean. We're not overly critical. But a 9 out of 10...
We're fair. I would not want to hear anyone say we're not fair.
A 9 out of 10 will put you in the running for a Screen Verdict Award, one of the best films of the year. That's a very good score.
Mm. Yes.
So there we go. Just to touch on quickly on something that Cristobal said about it being the third film, I feel like some of these superhero films often suffer from, you know, people say, well, running on reserve battery power. This is going to need some superhero-like speed to get my charger.
See, if he was wearing a Black Panther suit, he'd be fine.
for if he was that Scarlet Witch. She's pretty quick too, isn't she?
That's true. He could just alter the computer to be charged.
Right. Cristobal, did you like the show Heroes? That Heroes TV show?
Oh, I like the original Heroes show. I like watched the first two seasons, three seasons. There was a season where I finally just gave up. I was like, no, Heroes is just done.
Yeah, I liked. I liked season one, season two, meh, and season three. I gave up. But what I was saying was, people say, oh, sequels aren't. Never so good. I found all these superhero films. There's a lot of good sequels. The Dark Knight is a sequel. It's like the second in that series of Batman, for example. Oh. But I feel like the third, that's the real curse. It's the third in the trilogy. If you look at Spider-Man 1 and 2 are pretty good. Spider-Man 3 was awful. X-Men 1 and 2 were pretty good. X-Men 3 was awful. If you look at Iron Man 1 and 2 were pretty good. Iron Man 3 was not terrible. It wasn't great.
I thought Iron Man 3 was better than Iron Man 2.
Actually, maybe that's right. Well, it definitely wasn't good as Iron Man 1. One of some of the other examples. Anyway, I was worried this might be...
The Dark Knight Rises, Jonathan.
Yeah. So, Batman Begins was really good. Dark Knight, freaking awesome. Dark Knight Rises, what a disappointment. So, there you go. That's a curse. But Civil War, perhaps...
I kind of like Dark Knight Rises. I guess I'm the weird one.
Oh, man. We've got a friend, Bass Cristobal. I'll have to put you in touch with him. He was obsessed.
So there you go. Civil War. But other people might not agree it's a curse. I think it's the trilogy curse, but it's perhaps been broken by Civil War. So this is a relatively long podcast, which means I don't know if we have maybe just do a quick housekeeping this week. Matt, did you have anything that you wanted to share?
Nope.
Yeah, that was... wasn't expecting it to be that quick. Cristobal, you got anything for housekeeping?
I have no idea what housekeeping is.
It's the segment where we raise just general housekeeping issues, ongoing updates, general news... developments.
I would just like to say it's been an honor to be on this podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks, Cristobal.
It's been good to have you on, Cristobal. You certainly excelled in your role as Marvel expert.
Thank you.
thanks for coming on. Housekeeping. I'll just give you one quick story for housekeeping.
Nice. Oh, I'm excited.
We on the podcast here at Screenboat are a big fan of Tony Hale, from particularly in Arrested Development and Veep. Now, Matt is a good friend of his now that he has hugged Tony Hale at the HBO... it's not a euphemism, he just hugged the guy at the HBO after party after the Emmys. Very cool. So I thought I'd share a bit of Tony Hale news.
Well, it's Tony Hale news.
Yeah.
I love Tony.
This week in Tony Hale news, it's currently the LA Film Festival, and there was an actor's coffee talk. This is you get some coffee, and you listen to some actors talk. Now, I wasn't actually there because I was at the World Jiu-Jitsu Championship, but Bonnie, former podcast guest and my girlfriend, Bonnie Eford, was at the coffee talk, and Tony Hale was there. And
is that because she's a big coffee fan?
I think she likes coffee, but I think she's an even bigger Tony Hale fan. So he was there. John Cho, Michaela Watkins, John Shear, or something. And she said it was really good. Tony Hale was really funny, gave lots of great insights into acting. Then she went across the road to grab a snack at we don't give free plugs here at the Screen Verdict podcast. So it was an anonymous eatery, and while eating there, sat just on the other side of the other booth was Tony Hale.
Oh my gosh!
Bonnie got double her weekend dose of Tony Hale. I just want to give you guys an inside scoop because Bonnie, she was right there. She was privy to some to some really, you know, this is not in the news, all right? This is going to be you'll only hear this on Screen Verdict, all right? So just keep
and
it between
all the other sites when they pick up on this.
Yeah.
when they hear it on the podcast.
But you heard it first on Screen Verdict.
Yeah. All right, here it is.
Yeah.
Tony Hale ordered the buffalo cauliflower.
Whoa!
I wouldn't have thought he was a guy that likes spicy. Who would have thought he'd been putting buffalo sauce on his cauliflower? What a wild man.
Yeah, he's from the South.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. Is he from Virginia? It's just below. Like, but Buster, man, hey, he's eating juice and hot ham water. That's about as adventurous as Buster gets. But this guy's a wild man. He's putting buffalo sauce on his cauliflower.
Master of acting.
Yeah, so if you guys are struggling to get auditions and you're just mulling your life over in some dumpy restaurant and you see buffalo cauliflower on the menu, get inspired.
Yeah, by Tony Hale. Yeah, it's good. Oh, yeah, that's what we're always having when I'm having food with him, getting the old buffalo cauliflower.
I've had that before. It's actually pretty good. The man has great taste.
Yeah.
So there you go. This week in Tony Hale News. Well, there you go, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks to Cristobal for coming on first time as a guest on the Screen Verdict podcast. We hope you had fun.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We'll probably get you back at some point, Cristobal. They're always churning out more of those Marvel films, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And I will be showing up to every single one of them dressed up like Spider-Man.
Whoa.
If we ever do a video podcast, I'll have my costume ready for everyone.
Here we go.
If you see anyone in a Spider-Man costume at a Marvel screening in the LA area, now you know who it is.
It's me.
Yeah, it's either Cristobal or the real Peter Parker. One of the two.
Or maybe I am the real Peter Parker.
Oh. Curveball.
Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Plot twist.
So we'll leave you guys with that to mull over until next week. We could be doing Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Money Monster.
Oh yeah,
The Nice Guys. I've seen all of these things. I'm not sure what Matt's seen.
I got one or two episodes of Kimmy Schmidt to go. So
there you go. All those coming
and
up.
A whole movie to go with the movies.
Veep. Girls, Game of Thrones, all down the line. So lots to look forward to on the Screen Verdict podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next week.